welcome to Super Nerd Podcast, the adventure that brings you the latest nerd news and rumors from movies, TV, entertainment, and sometimes science. You name it, if it is nerdy, we are talking about it. And tonight's main event is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Nerd Out. I am your host, Austin, and with me, as always, is the amazing Amanda.
Hey!
The wild yet exclusive Jekka.
Elusive.
Wow. Okay, he's elusive to him tonight. Make way, I am here.
The rambunctious Bob. And Burn Brady Burn.
I think Jekka's pretty exclusive myself.
Yes. I don't know why I got tongue tied. Like my tongue just seized up. It was like, blah, blah. It didn't work for some reason.
Was it very elusive tonight?
I guess so. Yes. So obviously we are talking Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, but we're also talking some other great cool things, to include some rumors that Deadpool 3 is going to have more X-Men characters returning, not just Wolverine. We've got James Cameron writing a new AI-inspired Terminator movie. And guess what, folks? Netflix is continuing with a season 5 of The Witcher, despite Henry Cavill taking leave. And we're talking a whole lot more, folks. So make sure to hit that podcast subscribe button. We would love to nerd out with you each and every week. And if you've already hit that podcast subscribe button, you know what I'm going to say to you. Plus 10 Nerd XP.
Nerd XP.
We love you guys. And for everyone else, as soon as you hit that podcast subscribe button, you too can start earning Nerd XP.
Nerd XP.
So before we jump into what's nerdy with you, I want to just say thanks to all of our fans out there who've been patiently waiting for us. We have been having some scheduling challenges between all of our work schedules, but we're back tonight and we're grateful for it. And so, Jekka, what's been nerdy with you over the last few weeks?
I have officially finished my field work.
Nice.
Yay! Which had a lot of complications and, yeah, it was stressful, but I'm done. Mm. Granted, that means I get to do the next fun part, which is data analysis, which I'm not looking forward to, but it's the nature of the beast. But I also finished my Lego Rivendell set. Rivendell Lego nice. Set. Took me Very 23 nice. Hours and 50 minutes. And wow. It's amazing. And I love it wow. so much. And if any of you are on the fence about getting it or not, just get it. It is worth every penny. It is amazing. So fun. So fun.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, Brady, what's nerdy with you?
Man, so here's the nerdiest thing I did this past week. A lot of the podcasts I listen to and stuff are surrounding behavioral economics. And I ordered a book about behavioral economics, but I'm not well versed in economics. So to understand some of the underlying principles and make sure I've got a grasp on it, I ordered a book on economics in audio format.
Okay.
So I've been listening to a book on economics, very dryly read.
Oh boy.
That's true nerdy endeavor right there. My wife, I was like, hey, listen to this. You'd love it. And it's like, the derivative of this is da 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 da.
All right.
And I let it go for a couple of minutes and she was like, you're listening to that? I was like, yeah.
I would be falling
asleep. Did you actually like it?
I love it.
Oh, okay.
I love it. But really I'm just building foundational knowledge with this, right? I'm just trying to make sure I have some understandings that when they refer in behavioral economics, when they refer to some of these principles of economics that I'm a little refreshed.
So Brady, just be careful not to put our listeners to sleep. That's all I ask.
Well, if you only knew that I was trying to become better versed in behavioral economics to understand how you guys might behave in a specific D&D scenario. it's all about resource management, right?
I have something in my eye, and it's making my eyes water like crazy. I've never had this happen to me on the podcast before. I can't see anything. Ah. Whew. Okay. Anyways, sorry about that. Our dog is being grumpy over here. If you can hear Amanda in the background. Bob. Yes, Bob. What's nerdy with you, man? You're talking about modding a GameCube?
Yeah, so for my birthday, I got a whole bunch of tools and whatnot for modding consoles, and I decided to start with the GameCube. So I tore this thing apart, jacked up the disk drive, but I installed PicoBoot on it, which uses a Raspberry Pi Pico and about, I think it's like 5 or 6 wires.
Yeah.
To connect right up into a chip right on the board. And what that does is it allows you to use backups of games you legally own. And have backed up yourself on here without putting the disc in.
Nice.
Benefit of this is you can take your entire GameCube library and drop it onto a micro SD card and pop it in a little thing called the SD... or the SD to serial port adapter right here at the bottom. And away you go. It boots right into the menu. And if you press B or hold B while you're booting it up, it, it'll boot right into the normal GameCube mode.
So I need to learn how to mod some games and add them to my, my arcade stuff. I bet you could hook up a GameCube to one of those. That'd be pretty cool.
You probably could.
You could get a Raspberry Pi and build like what were those arcade machines that had all like a ton of games you could choose from on them?
Well, one of my buddies did something like that. He basically made one using RetroPie.
Yeah. That's basically all you got to do is get RetroPie and a Raspberry Pi, and you can pop that in a cabinet behind a TV and you're good to go.
You guys who are good with your hands in these tech things make it sound so easy. I over here who am the opposite of handy and tech handy. I would need one of you to come over.
And I'm just sitting over here being like Raspberry Pi. I'm kind of hungry right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Austin, I'm one plane ticket away.
Maybe. Yeah. There you go.
All right, Amanda, what's nerdy with you?
So, I have been suffering in Colorado because Colorado has had so much rain. We are an actual desert.
Yep.
It is not supposed to be raining like we're in Seattle.
Yeah, it's raining like every day for like the past like 2 weeks. I've lived out here for 18 years. This is the rainiest I've ever seen it.
Wow.
By a lot.
I am so cold all the time. Like, I'm used to being able to, like, there's AC going on. I can just go outside and warm up. That's not happening right now. So Austin's like, okay, we're going to go see Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And I'm like, but it's going to be cold. It's always cold in the theater, and I'm just so cold. So I have a purse that can fit about 2 2-liters of soda in it.
It's a really big, deep purse.
So I decided I was going to pack up a blanket because I didn't want to be cold.
Nothing wrong with that.
Austin starts taking pictures of me with my nice comfy blanket theater.
I've seen people sneak like candy and pop into a theater. I've never seen somebody sneak a giant blanket into a theater. And here she is. She got the whole thing laid out. She's the only one in the theater with this like wrapped up in a giant blanket.
It's not even a giant blanket. It's a throw blanket.
It's a big blanket for any purse.
Is sneaking a requirement if you want to bring a blanket?
It wasn't even sneaking. Yeah. Like, they would not have stopped me.
But you did sneak it because you hid it in your purse and you didn't tell anybody. You didn't even tell me. It's just, I'm sick.
I've been sneaking it in. I mean, it's not food or drink, and I mean, like,
it was covering the food and drink that was in my purse, but that's beside the point. That is beside the point.
Nonetheless, I'm just sitting there, and she sneaks it out of her purse.
Okay. I don't sneak it. No.
But she does it so quick and efficiently. I don't see it, and so I'm just sitting. I'm sitting, looking forward, looking at the trail. I look over to my left suddenly, and she's cocooned in this blanket. I'm like, what in the world? Where'd this thing come from? How did you get this in here without me noticing?
And then he proceeds to try and steal my blanket. Well,
I did because it was big enough for two people, so I might as well take advantage of it.
Austin, no blanket's big enough for two people.
Like, he's pulling it, so it's almost off of me as he's covering himself.
I don't see the
problem.
It was, I got too warm, though. I mean, like, you can't be too warm. So I got rid of the blanket like halfway through the movie and just, you know.
So I got my blanket back.
Yeah, she had it back. So anyways, we got a bunch of nerd news to cover, so we're going to be jumping into it.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Ooh. And what is the news that should be on your nerd radar? Well, a new trailer has been unveiled for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem movie. Paramount Pictures has unveiled a thrilling and action-packed new trailer for Nickelodeon's upcoming film Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. This latest preview offers a deeper look into the story as the Ninja Turtles strive to gain acceptance in society. They believe that by defeating the villainous Superfly, they will finally be recognized as true heroes. The trailer also introduces the formidable group of adversaries that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will confront. Surprisingly, upon their initial encounter, the Turtles find themselves excited to discover that they are not the only mutants in existence. In Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, after years of seclusion from the human world, the Turtle Brothers embark on a mission to win the hearts of New Yorkers and be acknowledged as ordinary teenagers through their acts of heroism. Assisting them in this endeavor is their new ally, April O'Neil. However, their noble intentions lead them into treacherous territory when they face an onslaught of mutant adversaries. Director Jeff Rowe, while discussing the film's tone, revealed that their desired approach, stating, quote, "We aim for a vibe similar to Stand By Me and Larry Bird infused with the essence of Ninja Turtles." That's an interesting combination, but okay. With this unique blend of influences, viewers can anticipate a compelling and heartfelt experience. The movie is set to hit theaters August 2nd, 2023. Let's take a listen to this trailer, and we'll talk about it afterwards. Here we go.
Boys, where have you been?
We're just running errands.
That's it?
Look, we're really sorry, Splinter. Some of the guys wanted to get pizza, and I tried to talk them out of it.
Leo! You ratted us out.
Hey, don't use that word that way.
I mean, it's 2023.
Sorry, Dad.
Hey, guys, if we weren't monsters that were shunned by society and we could do what we wanted, what would you guys do?
Go to high school.
Maybe get a girlfriend.
Can you imagine that?
Not likely.
Can I kick it?
Yes, we can.
Can I kick it?
This is insane. Turtle, mutant, karate teens. I want to know everything about you.
Our dad is definitely not a giant rat.
That makes me feel like he's a rat.
Can I kick it?
Police are baffled by the recent crime wave led by a Superfly.
Nobody's ever seen his face.
Why?
Because he kills everyone who does.
Whoa.
Cool.
No, not cool.
A bit cool.
Can I kick it?
We take out Superfly, and then everyone will think we're cool. They'll accept us.
Can I kick it?
He's making a deal tonight under the Brooklyn Bridge.
Can I kick?
Whoa.
Kick, 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 kick.
What the? Y'all some little tortoises, huh?
I can't believe there are other mutants.
You want to roll with us? Humans are never gonna like us. So we gonna let the mutants rule the earth.
Peoples, they got to go.
Okay, sort of a twist.
We can't stop him.
We gotta try.
6 a.m, police at my door.
Can I kick it?
Go, 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 go!
My son, Michelangelo, you have heart. Donatello, you have wisdom. Raphael, you have bravery. And Leonardo, honor.
Enough talk! I dream about fighting every night.
You've got a rage problem,
oh,
right?
It's not a problem!
Can I kick it? 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 Yes,
can. So, I know we keep saying, like, not get our hopes up high. My hopes are high. I'm excited to see this. Simply because that they actually sound, and in the trailer they act like teenagers. You know, all the previous movies and stuff, like, they act more like college students. But this one, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, teenagers. And I love it for that. So I'm really excited to see this. And I like hearing this little story of them trying to become, like, accepted of New York City, because New York City, there's some crazy things around there. So it's like ninja fighting turtles, they can make it. So I'm really looking forward to this to see how it goes.
I gotta say, one of the voices sounded like he was six.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Michelangelo sounds really young.
Yeah,
almost too young.
I don't know if you guys caught the list of names at the end of that trailer, but I'm going to throw a couple out there that are, like, huge names. Hannibal Buress, Jackie Chan.
Oh, wow, really?
Paul Rudd, Ice Cube, Seth Rogen, Maya Rudolph. All of those folks are in that movie. In addition to others that you guys may know, I don't. But, well, Post Malone's in there. Yeah, there are a lot of names.
Who's
in there.
Who's Jackie Chan playing? Is he
playing Splinter.
I'm wondering if he's Splinter as well. Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
I was
Jackie
trying to
Chan is Splinter.
Yeah, that right there.
That's perfect. Perfect.
Jackie
casting.
Chan fan. I loved all his movies, and he gets to play Splinter. See,
I know.
I'm excited.
How cool is that?
I'm excited. I'm so looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah, it looks really good. One thing I noticed, I only noticed this because we just saw Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, but, like, it has the same animation style.
Yes.
And I like that. But I don't want it to get overused and become the new trendy thing that Hollywood does. Like, every single movie looks the same. I wouldn't like that. But keep it to just a few, and I think it'll be just fine. So
I think that kind of animation style, it's like, keep it with the comic book movies. Like, if you're something that's originally a comic book, keep it with that, and I think it's fine.
I'm just gonna be the dark horse and say I'm not interested in it.
I don't know. I don't know why you're not. That's incorrect.
That's not how that works, honey.
Anyways, let's move on. Check this out. Exciting casting rumors for Deadpool 3 says more X-Men characters are returning. So some fresh casting rumors have emerged for the highly anticipated Deadpool 3. According to reports, several beloved characters from both the X-Men films from Fox and Deadpool franchises are set to make a comeback in this upcoming film. Brianna Hildebrandt and Shioli Kutsuna, anyways, a Japanese name, have officially signed on to reprise their roles in the franchise. Hildebrandt will return as Negasonic Teenage Warhead, a character that was first introduced in the first Deadpool film, known for her ability to generate powerful nuclear explosion. Kutsuna will once again portray Yukio. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Yukio. Yes,
good job.
Do I need to say it with more?
Close enough.
Yukio! Yes, yes.
Okay.
Like the absurdly over-the-top excitement she does.
Yukio!
She's so fun.
Negasonic
like
Teenage Warhead's girlfriend and a Japanese mutant ninja who was first introduced in Deadpool 2. Moreover, insider at Can We Get Toast has shared some exciting news about possible additional cast members returning. Halle Berry is reportedly set to return as Storm. Fumke Johnson, I don't know how to say her name. Anyway, she's returning as Jean Grey, and James Marsden is also said to be coming back as Cyclops. So that's like the big four actors from the X-Men films, nice. With obviously Hugh Jackman coming back as Wolverine. Apparently, there have been some hints that maybe some returning X-Men villains, maybe we'll get Magneto back, you know, who knows? But these are all just a reminder. These are all rumors, nothing 100% official, but in all honesty, it kind of makes sense that maybe they'd bring them back. Another revelation about Deadpool 3 involves the relationship between the two iconic characters, Wolverine and Deadpool. In the movie, the two will not get along, as Wolverine harbors a strong dislike for Deadpool. Jackman has previously expressed his character's feelings, stating, quote, "How do I categorize it? 10 being really close, 0 being the reality. We're 0. We're opposites. We hate each other. I'm just talking from my perspective. Logan's frustrated by him, wants to be a million miles away from him, or wants to punch him in the head. Unfortunately, he can't be a million miles away from him in this movie, so I'm probably going to punch him in the head a lot." End quote. So this movie is currently in production. Deadpool 3 is set to hit theaters November 2024. What do you think of this, Brady?
I'm excited that some of those legacy X-Men actors are coming back. That's actually really cool. I am, contrary to a lot of people, and I'm probably going to get raked in the coals for this, I'm not really that excited about this. I don't know. It reeks of gimmicky to me. But you know, I'd love to be proven wrong. I've loved the other Deadpool movies. I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. And I mean, I think part of that is probably because I kind of already said my goodbyes to Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, you know, and it's like, I don't know. It doesn't give me the warm fuzzies, but you know, I'm going to give it a fair shot. I think that them bringing these other characters back is a real positive. So we'll see.
You know, this movie takes place before the Logan film, right? And that's the only reason why Hugh Jackman said okay to it.
Yeah, I know. I'd closed that chapter. I'd mentally closed that chapter, and now having to revisit it, I'm kind of like, oh. Well, and I think I'm also, contrary to what a lot of people think, I'm a little Ryan Reynolds out, you know?
He could be an acquired taste. I just think most people, he could outwear his welcome. I could see that.
So yeah, I mean, it's like watching a million Jim Carrey movies, you know, no matter how many Jim Carrey movies you watch, it's always Jim Carrey, right? And it's the same with Ryan Reynolds, and it works for him, and he's very funny, and he's done a lot of really funny stuff. I get it. There's nothing negative about Ryan Reynolds that I'm saying. I'm just saying that, it's just a little troped out for me. But, you know, I'll see it, and I hope I love it, and it has potential to be good, especially some of these things coming to light. So we'll see.
Well, I think this is kind of being like the farewell to the Fox X-Men. And I'm kind of excited about that because I really didn't like the last X-Men movies.
X-Men 3.
Out of Fox.
Wait, what was
X-Men Apocalypse.
Well, X-Men Last Stand. Come on. That was a practically perfect.
That wasn't the last one.
It wasn't the last one, but if we're talking the last time we saw Fox's X-Men actors, that was the last time.
No, they were in
Dark Phoenix.
And you also forgot New Mutants. That was the newer ish actors, not the others.
What are you talking about? X-Men Apocalypse didn't have any of the original actors in it, with the exception of the cameo by Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, I'm
all I know is that pretty much after the second X-Men movie of Fox, it just went downhill.
Well, no, I'm sorry. X-Men Days of Future Past was, I think, the best of all the X-Men films. All of them.
Okay, so anyway, instead of arguing about this, I'm just going to say that I'm excited to see Deadpool. Deadpool was fantastic, and I like the storyline. I do like what Ryan Reynolds does with Deadpool, because pretty much Deadpool fits Ryan Reynolds' personality, which is what Ryan Reynolds plays.
And you're not wrong.
Yes.
And I love the Wolverine baiting that he has done in past movies. And so for the last hurrah of X-Men, Fox X-Men, having it be with Deadpool and Wolverine be there, it just feels like it's the culmination of everything they've been trying to do.
Well, you're not wrong, you know? I don't think you're wrong. Having him come back, I mean, it's great for the franchise, and it absolutely folds in with you know, the setup that's been going on for years. So, yeah, I mean, it's got potential, and I'm sure it's going to be great. I just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. James Cameron is writing a new AI-inspired Terminator movie. So during a recent appearance at the Dell Tech World Conference, renowned filmmaker James Cameron shared exciting news about his work on a new Terminator movie. Cameron, known for his affinity for cutting-edge technology, revealed that the upcoming film's storyline will heavily revolve around the theme of artificial intelligence, AI. So in a thought-provoking approach, he expressed his desire to observe the real-world advancements in AI before finalizing the script. Having dedicated around 3 months to the project so far, Cameron's involvement as the writer brings a renewed sense of anticipation for the franchise's future. His creative vision and deep connection to the Terminator series are believed to be crucial for its successful progression, as previous attempts have come about without his writing or guidance, or he had minimal involvement. So everything basically after Terminator 2, we're talking Terminator 3, Terminator Salvation, Terminator Dark Fate, I mean, all of that.
Wasn't Cameron involved in Dark Fate?
As consultant. He wasn't involved creatively. And that's the biggest thing I'm getting out of this story so far, is that James Cameron feels inspired creatively to actually make a new Terminator film. That has not been the case so far. So, earlier discussions, Cameron hinted at the possibility of continuing the sci-fi action franchise, expressing his intent to focus more on AI, saying, quote, "If I were to do another Terminator film and maybe try to launch that franchise again, which is in discussion, but nothing has been decided, I would make it more about the AI side of it than bad robots gone crazy," end quote. So Cameron has openly expressed concerns about the potential misuse of AI, previously acknowledging its immense potential while cautioning against the catastrophic consequences it could entail. He highlighted the risk associated with the technology, with AI scientists jokingly referring to him as the Skynet guy at the conference. In his candid remarks, Cameron conveyed a mixture of fascination and wariness towards AI. Without thought-provoking insights in his distinctive perspective, though, Cameron continues to explore the intersection of technology and movies, blurring line between man and machine, which is what Terminator is. All right, Bob, what do you think of James Cameron writing a new Terminator movie?
Just judging by the title of the article and everything that you described, it almost feels as though he wants to discuss writing Terminator again. I don't mean that as a joke. What I mean is, the entire franchise is centered around AI run amok, not crazy robots. Crazy robots are just a tool of the AI. And they're the MacGuffin. But the fact of the matter is, it's always been about AI.
Yeah, I can see that.
Plot twist, he's writing it with ChatGPT.
Just thinking that, Brady.
You know what? You're absolutely right. But that does bring up another good point. With the advancements made in AI in the past 18 months, ChatGPT and deepfakes and all kinds of things, we're quickly getting to a point where machines can do some of these things. They may not be able to fully think or anything like that.
I mean, that's a big part of the writer's strike right now.
Very, very impressive.
The writer's strike is very much referencing that they do not want production companies to use AI for their, well.
Can you blame them?
For the work,
as a writer, I don't want them either. Like, no.
So I'm going to put this out there. I feel like Terminator has been run into the ground.
Yes.
I haven't seen one since Salvation because I have no more interest in that IP anymore. Like, they trashed their IP and now they're going, we're going to do it again. We're going to try another reboot. And it's way too soon to do another reboot. I would rather them have a fresh idea.
It's been about 4 years.
Outside of the Terminator franchise.
Well, we got Avatar.
You're not making your case.
I'm not trying to make my case. I'm just pointing it out.
I'm pointing out that they need a fresh IP to do something with if they're going to do this. Otherwise, they're not going to get me in the theater.
If James Cameron legitimately writes and maybe directs a Terminator film, I'll get you in the theater. This would be the real Terminator 3. Not the previous two Terminator 3s.
So you had Terminator 3. And then you had Terminator 0, which was
Salvation.
Salvation was kind of, it was supposed to be a new
Salvation a new was trilogy.
Christian Bale. It was supposed to be the future war. The failed future war.
Arcade, I'm talking about the one right before it.
Yeah.
Genesis was supposed to come before.
Oh, I completely forgot that one. Oh, come on. Okay, so we got Terminator 3, Terminator Salvation, Terminator Genesis, and Terminator Dark Fate. We've had four Terminator movies.
Dark Fate was supposed to erase everything.
Well.
And everything after Terminator 2.
Awesome.
Timeline altogether.
I'll make you a deal. If I can figure out a way to get a pillow and a blanket, so in case it's terrible, I can go to sleep.
Okay, let's move on.
That's awesome.
Netflix. Netflix is committing to The Witcher with continuing it after season 4, announcing a season 5. I thought you'd be happy about this. Anyways, Netflix is demonstrating its dedication to the Witcher series by moving forward with season 4, even in the absence of Henry Cavill, and already planning for season 5. Despite fans' disappointment over Cavill's departure after season 3, the streaming service remains confident that audiences will continue to support the show. In a recent interview with Deadline, casting director Sophia Holland revealed production's plans. She stated, quote, "We're just about to start filming on season 4 with Liam Hemsworth, and there will be a short gap. Then we go straight into season 5, end quote. While she refrained from commenting on Cavill's departure, she expressed excitement about seeing what Liam Hemsworth brings to the series. With Hemsworth's substantial fan base, season 4 promises to feature a blend of new characters and familiar faces. Showrunner Lauren Schmidt Hirschrich previously discussed the decision to continue the series without Cavill. She acknowledged that it was time for Cavill to move on in his career, but emphasized that there are still many stories left to tell. The option of ending the show or replacing Geralt with another Witcher was considered, but ultimately dismissed as straying too far from the source material. Netflix's commitment to the Witcher series showcases their confidence in the show's enduring popularity and their belief that audiences will continue to engage with the rich world and characters beyond Cavill's departure. Season 4 and the subsequent continuation to Season 5 is right around the corner. What do you think of this, Amanda?
So I've listened to rumors that the showrunner and the writers actually really don't like the source material. I've seen enough that I think that has merit. And Henry Cavill leaving the series, which he absolutely loves, because he's been fighting so much with the showrunners and the writers about it, I really question the quality of what show they can produce once Cavill's gone. And, like, I know it's rumors, and I will wait to see in season 3 how well season 3 goes, but I really, really question the ability of the show lasting beyond season 3.
Did you get it, Austin?
Austin's trying to kill a moth.
No, it was a mosquito.
Oh.
Okay, so we were talking
dog's cage, and I was like, okay, he's not the one to whack his dog, so it's something else.
The dog's not inside.
So I have the sliding glass door slightly open just to get some breeze. And because it's been so wet in Denver, like, this is like the first year like I've ever seen mosquitoes here in Denver. And I had this gigantic mosquito that just landed on my arm in the middle of the podcast.
Or around here all the time.
Not compared to Iowa, where I grew up. For every one mosquito in Denver, there's about 1,000 in Iowa. I'm not really exaggerating. All right, let's move on.
No one wanted to engage with me about The Witcher.
Oh, I thought you did.
So sad. No one talked about it. They're all watching you and your mosquitoes.
I know, I'm so sorry. I got distracted. But I still haven't seen any of The Witcher, so I'm like...
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
I defer to other people. Like, I don't
Brady, have you seen The Witcher at all?
No, but the fact that Cavill left makes me want to check it out.
You always come at the tail end, don't you? Superman, Witcher...
Yeah, right. No, I don't. No, I watched part of the first season. I couldn't stomach it, so. Yeah, just not my bag.
DC Studios has The Flash coming out, and guess what? There's a sequel script ready to go, but it's unlikely to be used. So Variety has revealed that a script for the sequel to DC Studios' highly anticipated film, The Flash, has already been written, penned by Aquaman writer David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. The script reportedly features Michael Keaton's Batman and Sacha Calle's Supergirl. However, it seems unlikely that this particular script will be utilized for the sequel. With Warner Brothers gearing up to release The Flash, expectations are high for its success at the box office. Naturally, discussions about a potential sequel have already arose, and director Andy Muschietti has previously mentioned that he had not discussed it with DC Studios, emphasizing that the continuation of the story hinges on the first movie's box office performance. He stated, quote, "I think that we're all waiting to see how this movie does. Of course, there's excitement about continuing the story, especially if this movie is successful. And the question is, will this new architecture absorb this story?" End quote. I think when he's talking about this new architecture, I think he's talking about the DCEU being moved over to the DCU with James Gunn involved in it. So despite recent legal troubles and controversies surrounding Ezra Miller, the director expressed no plans to recast the role of Barry Allen, also known as The Flash. Muschietti praised Miller's performance, believing that no one else could bring the character to life as effectively as he did. He acknowledged the greatness of previous interpretations, but highlighted the synergy between Miller and the character's specific vision. So, while the script for the sequel exists, its actual implementation remains unclear, but fans can anticipate the release of The Flash June 16th, weeks away, folks, right around the corner. So, what do you think of this, Jekka?
So it's they kind of summarized it, you know, it like all comes down to how does the Flash do in the box office, whether or not, I mean, I think it's like typical if there's any plan for sequels, at least like, cause you know, there's some movies where they're like, we intend to have a sequel for it. And then there's ones where it's like, we might have a sequel for it. And this definitely is in that might have a sequel category. But yeah, I just wonder, like, you know, because they had the Flash done when there was this whole change to the DC, the DU, DCU, whatever. And yeah, I kind of like, I mean, the nice thing is that they do have a script. So if like it does do well and they want to incorporate into the DCU, they can at least adjust, like make those adjustments. They have something there that they can work with instead of nothing at all. So I don't know. I'm like, I want to see, I'm more curious about the Flash. Like, I'm not really excited for it. I'm just like curious. Like, I want to see how it does. Cause I do like the Flash. Like, I mean, I watched all of, well, not all of, all of, wow. Not all of, no, I got like four seasons and then I was like, I can't handle the plot line. It was driving me crazy. But like the first two seasons with Grant Gustin, like they're my favorite, you know, they're great. So,
for me, what I really don't like is the director going, the only person who could play the Flash is Ezra Miller.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, I really don't like Ezra Miller as the Flash. That's actually one of the things I've been looking forward to with the DCU is getting a new Flash.
I like Ezra Miller's Flash. I think
he does a good job, but I would like to see someone else. Yeah,
so, I mean, I like Cookie and Fun.
Make an observation here.
Yeah, Bob, go for it.
He said that they weren't planning on recasting Barry Allen, right?
Well, if
the director is not,
yeah, the director's not.
James Gunn might.
How many other Flashes are there?
Grant Gustin played the Flash recently.
How many other characters are called the Flash?
A lot.
What do you mean? I'm not understanding that question.
Be Barry Allen.
I think he's trying to say that maybe we could have other non-Barry Allen Flashes.
You could have Wally West. You could just say that Barry Allen got defeated by so-and-so, and now here's the other Flash who just happened to be his guy. That's the beauty of comic books, is that if you can't recast, then just replace. The character entirely.
I think they can recast. I think it's just the director wanting to create controversy or just stir buzz.
No, this is his guy, and he wants to support his guy. He's getting a lot of negative press. I think he's just trying to be like a team player, coach type of guy. I don't think he's really trying to beat anybody else up.
That's just my standpoint on that. I mean, like, the thing is that Ezra Miller did a good job, but so much controversy has gotten into this, and there's such a sunk cost in keeping Ezra Miller as the Flash, that at this point I don't see them recasting him. What I do see them, because if they're not going to do it with this particular storyline, they're not going to do it. But what I do see doing is replacing him, much like they look like they're getting set up to do with Spider-Man and whatnot. Over the next, you know, 10 years, you're going to see Tom Holland replaced by somebody playing Miles Morales, likely.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. All right, let's move on. You know, we always talk about, you know, the possibility of talking science, but we haven't done so in probably about, like, a year. I don't know. So, guess what? We're talking science! Because I think something cool happened. Check us out. Scientists have X-rayed an atom for the very first time in history. Scientists have achieved a groundbreaking feat by using X-rays to characterize individual atoms. This remarkable advancement allows them to identify the type of atoms and study their chemical behavior. The team, led by Professor Shaw Wei Hull, I don't know, from the University of Ohio, And the Argonne National Laboratory stated that this discovery will have profound implications for environmental and medical sciences. It may even lead to revolutionary cures and transformative changes for humanity. The study focused on tracking an iron atom and a terbium atom belonging to a rare earth metals by utilizing a specialized metal tip alongside a conventional X-ray detector. The researchers could determine the type of atom and even detect their chemical states. The ability to characterize single atoms using X-rays provides researchers with fingerprints to understand sample compositions and investigate physical and chemical properties. This breakthrough could have significant implications for enhancing the performance and applications of various materials. Overall, the success and characterization of a single atom using X-rays represents a significant advancement, offering scientists unprecedented capabilities to explore fundamental building blocks of matter. What do you think of this, guys?
Those are there's tiny. Actually, that's
there's
cool.
Actual pictures of the X-rayed atoms, and I'll include links of it. But they look like six dots making a circle. If you can picture that.
Yeah, you remember those old cap guns
that
you would put the little? Yeah, they had like six little round caps, and you put them in the revolver and close it. Yeah. Pop, pop, pop. That's kind of what they look like.
Yeah, they do look like that.
Dude, I think that's pretty insane. But, you know, every time I see something like this, I'm amazed and I'm floored that they're able to observe this kind of thing. I mean, we're talking, what's that, 2 nanometers, whatever. 2 very small units of measure that we're looking at right there that have been blown up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I also think that in 100 years, people are going to be like, this is not going to be old hat, right? Like it's just, we're always on the edge of so much that we don't know. And I think this is another one of those steps, and it's amazing that they're able to do this. I think it's great.
So for me, this is absolutely fabulous, as I have had to do so many different things. I was working on getting my degree in biochemistry, and then I just never finished. And so I remember having to do different things to figure out exactly what atoms are in the structure.
Oh, and I remember doing those. Well, yes.
Go I on, did sorry. Them so much more, though. So
I believe
much
you.
More.
I believe you. Yeah.
And what?
No, go ahead.
I remember we had to like, what light is reflecting off of it? And like, let's scramble everything up so there's no longer molecules. And then we're going to run like residue through it to see how much of each atom is in this mixture of goo that you've just created.
I wonder if they could use this same, you know, kind of to harken back to one of our earlier conversations. I wonder if they could use this same methodology to really hone down and examine and perhaps find the minuscule amount that I care about Henry Cavill playing the Witcher. I'm just asking questions.
Honestly, so for your Henry Cavill comment, I don't really, like, for me, the actor's not necessarily as important as whether the writers actually care about the show and the product they're creating.
I was just being facetious.
Well, with that, I think we have reached that time in which we need to talk some Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
We had our honeymoon on Alderaan.
Good thing we took pictures, huh?
Shut up, Wesley.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park?
can hear you being quiet, Mom.
Hope I didn't ice your game, man.
No one my age says those words in that order.
It's just hard to see my little man not being my little boy all the time.
Yeah.
For years, I've been taking care of this little boy. Making sure he is loved. That he feels like he belongs wherever he wants to be. He wants to go out into the world and do great big things.
Not bad, kid.
And what I worry about most...
I love you, Miles.
...is they won't look out for you like us.
Miles!
Want to get out of here? Wherever you go from here, you have to promise to take care of that little boy for me. Make sure he never forgets where he came from. And he never doubts that he is loved. And he never lets anyone tell him that he doesn't belong there. You gotta promise.
Hey! I promise.
Who do you think you are? Really?
We are supposed to be the good guys.
We are.
Is it over now?
I think so.
Hey, special shout out to all you super nerds who have subscribed to the podcast. We really, really appreciate you. Help us get the word out and tell a friend about the podcast. And also, I want to invite you to subscribe. If you haven't already, come on, do it. You'll get plus 10 nerd XP.
Nerd XP.
All right. There have been some ventures into the multiverse of Austin and Brady have disappeared.
Yes, we do not know where they are. So this is a two-woman show. Thank you very much. We got this.
Spider girls!
Yes! Spider women. We got this.
All right. So what was your first impressions of the movie?
Okay, so it was just as good as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's throwing this out there. It's not spoiler territory, but it's kind of a heads up, but it does leave you on a cliffhanger. And
I'm so mad about that.
Angry, furious cliffhanger, which means it's a very good cliffhanger.
It's amazing. Like,
yeah, it was amazing cliffhanger, but boy, do I hate it. So I'm like, okay, like, because I was concerned at first, like, you know, when they were like, oh, we're going to do a sequel. There's going to be two sequels. Like, it's going to be two parts. And I was like, oh, kind of iffy on that. Yeah, no, the way they set it up for the second part, I am really looking forward to when that comes out.
So looking forward to it. But it reminds me of every time I'd go see a movie with my stepdad. And we'd be sitting through it, and it would end where it's like, the next movie comes out in like 2 years. My son was like, I could be dead by then! Give me another movie! So far, he's seen all the sequels of movies he has got to. He still can't get it. But
still kicking. That's a good way to stay alive for it. It's like, I gotta see the sequel. I can't die until I see the sequel.
But yes, that's all I could think of when the movie ended was like, I could be dead by the time this sequel comes out. You can't do this to me.
I hope they put it out quickly. I hope they do.
Well, I hope that they knew, like, it's kind of like Lord of the Rings where they made it all at once. I hope they were working also on maybe the sequel at the same time. Since they knew they were doing that to us.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least, like, you know, they had the script already written. So now they're like, yeah. Doing the production. Yeah. Yes, they better be. Oh gosh. If they're not, I will be very angry.
So yeah, let's get into spoiler territory.
Yes, spoilers now.
One of the things that I think was so captivating about it was the deep relationships that Miles had with his mother and father.
I really liked how they showed that more, because like the first one was really about him and Uncle Aaron. Mm-hmm. Like, got that side of it, got a little bit of like his parents, but this one I really liked how they focused a lot on that. And they even, like, I liked Gwen's too. I liked how they focused on her story and her backstory. And I just want to throw out there, like, the animation for her, like, how the colors would change depending mm-hmm. on, like, the mood of what was happening.
Yeah. Oh,
I loved that. That was, like, so amazing.
That was
very,
really
very awesome use, like, artistic.
So I have to share, yeah. I'm not a fan so much of the artistic style of the animation, but I loved how it captivated me anyway. It pulled me in, even if like it's not my type of animation style. I also loved how they integrated the comic bookness of it. And because of the animation style, it felt like you were watching a live comic book.
Yeah, which was like from the first one, which is what I liked about the first one. Yeah. Was like it had that comic book style thrown into a movie. And yeah, I really like that. I will say that like there were some cases where, because each Spider-Man like was kind of had their own animation, and that got jarring for me. Like there, it's one of those things, like I would genuinely say, I don't know if there's a warning about the movie, but I would say if there's any photosensitive viewers out there, like be aware when you go see this, because like, it's not flashing lights, but it's just like flashing colors that it, like, even for me, my brain was starting to hurt a couple times, just because like, as they would go into different universes, they had like their own style of animation, which I thought was cool, but like, it kind of hurt my brain. Like it was a bit overloading for my
Hobie.
Brain.
Hobie's animation.
Hobie. Yes. His was the one, like I was noticing it before, and his went over the top. That was like, oh, that was too much for me. I was like, oh, my brain. That kind of makes my brain hurt a little, like my eyes hurt a little bit. Like it was jarring, but I still liked Hobie.
Oh, yeah, Hobie was great. I loved how basically he was in there just to stir the pot.
Yeah. And then like, as it was erupting, he was just like, sweet. See you later. Yeah. That's like, actually, I'm going to jump into the thing that like really stood out to me with the whole thing was like the whole canon. Mm-hmm. Like, cause I think the whole idea of canon's really stupid. Like I remember when, like, I understand the reasoning behind it. Like it helps keep things cohesive and put together, but I don't like it. Like I like, it's pretty much when Disney bought Lucasfilms and they were like, all that stuff is no longer, like all my favorite Star Wars books I always read, they were like, that's no longer canon.
And
I was like,
they're just butchering them now.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just like, excuse me. Like, so the whole thing, I liked how this movie was like putting a target on like the whole idea of what's canon and being like, no, we don't have to follow what's canon. Like, it's more of what's the true storyline. And I liked what they were going with that, where it was like, you know, oh man, it was like in Mumbatan, you know, how like Miles intervened with a canon moment where he saved the chief of police and thereby was like disrupted that whole canon thing. And I was just like, I think that's cool. And it should happen more. And I'm excited to see how that part plays out. And especially like with Gwen and the gang like splitting off and being like, no, we're going to throw canon away and like forget about canon. And I appreciated that as someone that hates the idea of like what's canon and what's not canon. I'm just like, I don't like it.
So the philosophy that I have about canon is if somebody interrupts a canon event, it will just come up later, because especially with the death of a police officer close to Spider-Man who's saving a small child, like there are so many opportunities for that. So many opportunities that disrupting one, I don't think would cause that huge of an issue, at least in my opinion. Like it shouldn't have, like, it didn't make sense to me that that would start destroying that universe.
Yeah, and that was the thing, like the whole thing with Miguel's universe, how it's like there was a universe where the Spider-Man died and so he stepped into it, and then like that caused it to disintegrate. I was just like, I feel like there's more to that story than meets the eye.
I feel like the sacred timeline people are involved a little bit in these.
Yeah, which I'm like, I hope they stay out of it. I don't want that.
So what I kind of like about it is the multiple Spider-Men, Spider-Women basically become the sacred timeline police.
Yes, I thought that was funny. I thought that was really funny that, like, everyone except for Miles was, like, in on this.
Yeah, Miles gets to be invited. But I think just because his spider came from another universe does not diminish his spiderhood.
Yeah.
Nor would it diminish, like, there were so many radioactive spiders. Taking that one radioactive spider does not equal a missing Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So that part didn't make sense to me that all of a sudden Peter Parker would be missing becoming Spider-Man, because there's multiple spiders.
And I don't think there's a reason that, like, oh, no universe can have two Spider-Man. I was like, no, I think there could be two Spider-Man, because I think, like, the Peter Parker for Miles universe, like, that made sense to me. That was like, oh my gosh, there's another Spider-Man, and then he got killed by Kingpin. I was just like, I don't feel like that was like, oh, fixing the timeline or anything, fixing the universe. I was like, no, I feel like that just legit could happen.
Yeah.
And if anything, like, that was like a plot device, if anything. Like, you know, I felt like that was necessary for Miles's story, but like at the same time, he could have very easily like thwarted Kingpin and actually taught Miles, and we would have had two Spider-Men. And I think that's totally possible, you know. But yeah, no, I do like the idea of how it's like, oh, because this universe didn't get a Spider-Man, I feel like at this point in time, it's totally gone dark. And like the Prowler's in charge. That was crazy.
I like that in the alternate universe that he is the Prowler, because I like how it shows the dichotomy of how he's still brilliant, but he just became like, he could become a hero or a villain. It's all about choices.
Yeah. It's all about choices. And in this case, it was even showing, it's all like, in a way it's like who died, you know, and it showed like, cause in the alternate universe, like his dad had died, not his uncle, you know? And it's just like, I thought that was kind of like an interesting swap. To show, like, oh, his dad died and he became a villain, you know? And he became the Prowler. And so, yeah, that was crazy. Oh, but that was like, intense. Yeah.
Yeah. But his relationship with his dad, like, some of his snarky attitude, I was just watching the relationship between his mom and his dad and him, and I'm just like, I feel this so deeply. So deeply. My oldest is becoming a teenager next month. I was feeling this so deeply.
You're like, oh, that's in my future.
Oh, no, it is my current reality.
Oh, it's happening right now.
It is happening right now. And Austin's always going, you just need to listen to me. Don't talk back to me. And she's just like, no, I have a voice. Dear. So I think part of what I enjoyed so much about it was how well it was done, because it was so realistic, because it mirrored my life with the preteen.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I agree with you. Like, I felt like it was a very real situation, very real relationship of a family that's like, they very much love each other, and you know they love each other and would do anything for each other, but they're just having a family fight. And I just loved seeing that, where it's like they're having a family fight and that's normal, but you know they still care about each other.
Yes.
And I really like that. Yeah.
I really like their addition of Spanish.
I loved how they did that. I loved it so much.
It was so well done. I really, really loved his low grade in Spanish as well.
Oh my gosh, I love his mom's response to that was exactly what I was hoping for when they were like, and he's got a B in B minus in Spanish. And she's just like, what? And immediately like snaps at him in Spanish. Oh my gosh, I was just like, yes. That was exactly what I was hoping for when I heard that grade in Spanish. Like, I was like, how is his mom going to react? Because, like, he's bilingual, you know? And, like, it, I just, oh, yeah, his mom is, like, my now, my new favorite character of all.
She's my favorite superhero mom.
Yes, my favorite superhero mom. All the way, hands down. Yeah, that was so funny. But, yeah, I liked how they worked in, like, all the Spanish. Like, how the Spanglish. Like, even he called it out. He was like, is that Spanglish? I really liked that. And I don't speak a lick of Spanish, but I, like, I enjoy anyone that, like, switches, like, just meshes two languages together. Like, I love listening to that. I think it's so fun to listen.
I will admit, part of the great part for me is I am learning Spanish, and I understood everything. And
it's so nice! That's even better!
They slowed it down for me. I really appreciated that. Especially, yeah. No, she's Puerto Rican. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
My brother lives in the Dominican Republic, and apparently that's the fastest speaking Spanish in the world.
Oh, wow.
And so I've also learned that Cuba is very similar, where they speak very fast Spanish. And I'm just like, can I find the slowest speaking Spanish country in the world? I'll go visit there. But I like how they kept it at a slow pace for people like me.
That's awesome. Yeah, it just sounded normal to me, like normal speed. But I feel like there's a lot of languages that are very fast compared to English. So I speak Japanese, and whenever I speak in public, like, the biggest thing that I always have to tell myself is to slow down, because when I get nervous, I talk fast. Yeah, no, my nervous talking speed in English is normal speed in Japanese, like, and so it was especially really, like, if I'm in the habit of listening or speaking Japanese, I just start talking super fast in English, that even, like, my friends, native English speakers, like, I can tell that they're kind of getting, like, glazed eyed. They're like, whoa, I'm not keeping up with her. And I'm just like, oh boy, I need to slow down, I'm falling into Japanese speed.
Okay, so the villain, I think.
Oh my gosh!
Absolutely loved the villain.
His power. I want that superpower. That is like a formidable superpower that you can make holes. I'm like, that is amazing.
I love the ATM.
I know.
The introduction of the superpower was so fun.
So funny. I know, and he's just like trying to take it, and he's like, I'm not robbing you, I'm robbing the bank.
I like the dude that tripped over the ATM and the crosswalk.
Yes. Oh, and can I just say, so when we did our Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse rewind, I had talked about that, like, one of my favorite scenes is when Miles and Peter Parker are escaping Alchemex with the computer, and they take a bagel, and a guy's like, they took a bagel, and then they throw the bagel at a guy. I really appreciated that the guy that got hit by the bagel is this villain. I was just like, thank you for acknowledging, like, my favorite scene in that movie, when people are freaking out because they're escaping with a bagel, and he throws a bagel at a guy, and it hits a guy. Like, I was just like, thank you. Like, that is the best.
He was truly chosen to be my Miles's arch nemesis. He was picked by the bagel.
He was picked by the bagel, exactly. Oh my gosh, I need to look up who voiced that guy, too, because his voice sounded super familiar. It was driving me crazy. Hold on, I gotta...
So, I loved how, like, the spot was his face, and then all of a sudden he loses his spots. He's like, where'd my spots go? What's the point of not having a face if I don't have my spots?
I know, yeah. Okay, so it's Jason Schwartzman. He looks familiar. Oh, he was in Moonrise Kingdom. Okay, I'm going
to
look
at
all
his... Now I have to look up this.
Like, he looks familiar, and he's definitely been in a lot of comedies. Oh, he was Jesper in Claws. In Claws. The Netflix computer... Or Christmas computer. Wow. The Netflix Christmas movie that I really like. He was Jesper. That's where I know his voice. He was the main character in that, in Klaus.
Oh, okay.
That's where I know him. Oh, but he was in the Grand Budapest Hotel, Saving Mr. Banks.
So then with him, like, basically going into the hole of holes, of the multiverse holes, I loved how he came from another universe, and then all of a sudden he's given the powers to go between multiverses.
Yeah, and I like it how he figured out how to increase his power. Yeah. I thought that was really cool, that he was like, oh, I just need to step into more super colliders, and he just starts visiting all the universes and stepping into the super colliders. I was like, yeah, he went really quickly from a villain of the week to, like, super villain. And, like, at the end, when it, like, became reverse, where it was, like, white, or before it was black on white, and then it becomes white on black. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool, that color change.
It's very good.
But, yeah, he was definitely a very good villain. He was a great. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I love he was how it great. Shows, like, it showed his character development.
Yeah.
That he was able to develop into more, and how a villain of the week can turn into more if you don't fully catch them in a week.
Exactly. Yeah. If you don't stop them, they're going to go crazy. And then you got bigger problems.
I have to say, I really liked Miles's run through the Spider-Man headquarters.
That was insane. I just, like, I know, and they're all, like, looking at each other.
I guess Spider-Pig got away with that, because Spider-Pig's not Spider-Man.
Yeah, all the Spider-Pig, the Spider-T-Rex, the Spider-Horse, and, like, the Spider-Women. Like, they're all like, okay, well, we're safe now.
Well, we'll catch all of you!
Right, yeah.
But I think I really liked how the plan wasn't to get away necessarily, it was to pull all of the Spider-Men away after him.
Yeah, so then he can get back and send himself home. Yeah, I liked that too. I like that was very clever on Miles's part. Unpack my laptop.
Like how detailed oriented they were, and how you didn't necessarily know where they were going, but once you figure out, you're like, oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah it was cool. And let's not forget the Peter Parker, his good old mentor Peter Parker, and his, like, little daughter just carrying
spider
around.
Baby,
the spider baby. Oh my gosh. That was so funny. Like, total dad.
I love when she pulled the little Spider-Man hood over her eyes.
Like, she's ready to go, and he's like, don't tell mom.
So, I got the feeling that they based Mary Jane, his wife, on the Tobey Maguire's Mary Jane. Like, she looks very similar.
Yeah, yeah, I felt like that too. Like, she's very much based on
and
that.
And I really should know the actress's name, but I can't remember.
Oh, it was Kirsten Dunst?
Kirsten Dunst, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did like how it felt like a nod to her a little bit, but at the same time, I don't think they wanted it to be too similar. So.
But it was just enough to be kind of like a little tribute to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I liked that. I like that too. And I really liked, again, like how when they're explaining the whole idea of canon and all that, how they were like pulling in, you know, the Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. I really liked that. Oh, and the scene when Spot pops into the universe with like Venom and he talks to the Chinese lady at the convenience store. Oh my gosh, that was so funny. And he was like, you act like this is an everyday thing. And she was just like... She's like, get out of my face. That part was so, that was like, I don't know, that to me, that just tickled my funny bone a lot.
It was so perfect.
It was so perfect. It was so well done. And I'm just like, ugh, Sony, like, you really own Spider-Man. Like, all the movies they're putting out, I'm like, I am happy with this. Like, you just keep rolling with Spider-Man because you have this down. Like, they know what they're doing with, at least for, in my opinion, right now, they know what they're doing with it. Like,
oh, yeah.
They totally, I'm like, this is great. Like, keep going. Like, IMDb also had, like, Beyond the Spider-Verse. It looked like there is, when's it coming? Let me look it up again.
I'm looking up the next, the next Venom and see when that's coming out.
Oh, guess what? According to IMDb, Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse is actually in post-production and it will it's expected to come out next year in March 2024. Okay. That's IMDb, which I trust IMDb.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, they are like they have been working on it, so they're in post-production. So yeah.
So and Venom 3 will also be coming out next year.
Oh, nice.
Is what it I'm seeing mid 2024 to October 2024 depending on the website you're looking at, but it looks like I'm seeing more Octobers.
Okay.
So I kind of like that Venom 3 will be coming out after Beyond the Spider-Verse is what it's called.
Yeah, I am too for this simply because right now I'm excited for Miles Morales' story. So like I want that to finish first before I mean this is just me being like I want to finish it in order, you know. So it's like I don't want to get distracted. So yeah, I'm glad that if that is the case that they release the third Venom movie at the end of October or at the end of the year, that's perfect. Because then we get Spider-Man in the beginning and then we get Spider-Man at the end. It's yes. Great. And I am happy.
So I do have to share with you, I'm really mad right now because I Googled Venom 3 and I'm looking at it and what the rumors are. And then there's the fan-made trailers that I'm like, almost like, is that real? That one? But they've only started filming, so there's going to be no teasers out yet.
Yeah, there's not even, like they usually don't release the teasers until they're in post-production.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at this going, well, that was rude. Okay. Oh, Venom 3, Along Came a Spider. I'm like, I want that so bad. That's so far the teaser trailer day, and then I'm like, that's what I want.
See, this is where, like, I don't go looking for trailers because of that reason. I wait until, like, we talk about it on the podcast, and I'm like, okay, I know it's a real deal because Austin does his homework.
Oh, he does. Well, my problem was I was just looking for like a release date or a time frame.
Oh, and they were
and
coming up.
And all of these trailers came up and I'm like, okay, I know they're not real, but I want them
to be real.
Real.
Yeah, and yeah.
That's the problem.
Yes.
All right. Do you have any final thoughts about Across the Spider-Verse?
Go see it.
It's amazing.
It's very good. Like, I want to see it again. I will definitely be buying it when it comes out on DVD.
Spider-Gwen is so amazing. I love Spider-Gwen.
She is awesome.
Oh, I love Lizard Peter Parker. I love Lizard Peter Parker.
Yeah! He was a cute... He was a Savannah monitor because I know my lizards. And I was just like, oh, he's so cute. Look at him go trying to eat everyone. And then he died, and I was like, ugh.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you are listening to us. Subscribe and review us on the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Android, or wherever you find us. Next week, we are going to be doing so make sure you leave us a voice with your thoughts on either Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse or how you like to play D&D. Super Nerd Podcast, and you just might be featured on an upcoming show. Email us at supernerdpodcast@gmail.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, search Super Nerd Podcast, and give us a share from all of us at Super Nerd Podcast. Stay nerdy and have fun.
See you later.